Father, you know that we are helpless without your ministry to us here, without the unfolding of the word to us. We can't even really grasp it without your help. We ask for that help tonight. In Christ's name, amen. All right. We were starting into the third chapter of Galatians, and we want to just read it and get reoriented to it. O senseless Galatians, who has deceived you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was written as crucified? And this only do I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish or senseless, having begun in the Spirit, are you now fulfilled in the flesh? Have you suffered such things in vain, if indeed it be in vain? He then who supplies you the Spirit and energizes you with power, was it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay, so this expresses a very basic principle in the whole system of Christianity. We fight to get hold of principles that we can really nail down and say these are the planks of our platform, because there's so much of difference of opinion throughout the country and the world in the church. And I submit and have submitted to you before that a lot of it is just ignorance of the Bible, real understanding of it. They tend to just move off on their premises or their traditions. But this makes a very plain statement here that the only way that the human being can ever get involved with God or can ever handle the things of God is when the Spirit comes into inside of us, and that we get this not by any works that we do, but by the opening of our heart to Christ. There's a definite tie here that says apart from Christ, none of this is possible, and that all the messing around with the law is just ridiculous. So I don't think anything could be a whole lot clearer than this. He says, having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect by the flesh? In other words, is it by holding the law that you're made perfect, or by doing all the good things and so forth? And the answer, of course, is no. For even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you know, or you know then, that those who are of faith, these are the children of Abraham? Now, faith is a much misunderstood word. Without some real explanation and substantial understanding of the word, it becomes just a catchword. Keep the faith, buddy, you know, that sort of thing. Who knows what it means? Who knows how to have it? I've said over and over again that Christian people spend so much time struggling to get faith, but what they're really struggling for are feelings of faith, feelings of confidence. And I've said that we really can't be that sure what God's going to do. We don't know what's going to go on. Faith is something that you either possess by the Spirit beyond the reaches of human emotion, or you're sunk. And I have a funeral tomorrow for a fellow that committed suicide, jumped off a building. Now, his family is going to be there. One of them is an atheist, I suppose. He thinks he's an atheist, an agnostic. And another one is a very well-known physicist. And another one is a Christian sister that he has. And we're going to have to minister to all these people. Now, what are we going to say? What do you say to a family whose relative has jumped off a building like that? Where is God? And the fellow was mentally having mental difficulties, and everybody's going to ask, all right, where is your God now? And all of this, which reminds me of a funeral I had of a police officer that had been a very faithful officer, and all of a sudden he kind of went berserk. robbed a bar and was chased by the police and shot himself through the head. He had a wife that he had recently married and a baby that had just been born a few days earlier. So, you know, this is a tough thing. The police, his buddy, fellow officers are there. They don't know whether to what to think because, you know, he died in disgrace and yet he'd been a fine officer. It was just a tough, tough situation. Or the funeral I had for I've had for children and so forth. These are tough, very hard. A five-year-old boy that died of leukemia. And just, I've had some very, very hard funerals. And always the same question, of course. Why? Where is your God now? And I have said in some of these funerals that I, when they're this kind of thing that they're pretty tough to explain, you know, and I've said I don't know why God did this or allowed it, and I don't even like it, you know. It doesn't conform to what I would believe was a substantial way to go, but still I can't question God about it. You see, here's a situation which I have to leave to the ministry of the Spirit within to handle it. And it's, in a way, comforting to know that, you know, that encouraging to people to believe that no matter what has happened in the situation, they can just leave it in God's hand, but they don't have to feel good about it, you see? They don't have to understand it. They don't have to feel good about it. So they merely leave it in the Lord's hands. Now, the meaning of faith, if it be taken out of the emotional context, and be said that our own human emotions are not capable of putting together a brand of faith to sustain us on the human level, there's a deeper quality to faith that we can rely on. I've used this quite a bit before, but faith, Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. The most real thing in the world is faith, according to that verse. What is faith then? Well, faith is, as we ferreted out, an energizing force from God that sustains us in a relationship to Him. It has nothing to do with feeling good about things or feeling confident that the Lord is going to do this or that. Faith is a dynamic, energizing principle given us from God that holds us in a relationship to Himself in spite of a multitude of things that appear to the contrary. See? In spite of the fact that it seems contrary to experience that there could be God out there who cares about anybody. In spite of that, there's an energizing force within us that says, well, we can't understand it and we can't explain it, but it's all right. You can accept it. That's what is meant here by the fact that we have received this Spirit by the hearing of faith. He then who supplies to you the Spirit and energizes you with power. Did you receive this by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? So automatically when the faith of Christ comes in us, automatically we are given the power to believe. Question.
Hebron used energy for the works of the law.
Yes, it would be wrong because.
What's the difference?
Well, the N is the difference. Okay. N ergeo means to work in, and ergeo just means to work.
So see? Work.
Work, yeah. The work of the law. Because there's a difference between the works of the law and the energy of faith. The energy of faith is something that's inside of you, the work of the law is an external thing. And we've got to see this energizing principle that is going on and functioning in us now. See? Whether you think you're any good or not, you may not think you're much of a Christian. You know, when you start laying yourself alongside the purported episodes and experiences of people on television and so forth, and you look at all that stuff and you hear all these things and you think, I guess I'm pretty mediocre. But that is not true at all. Your faith, functioning within you as an energizing force, is just as much as anybody else's. You may be just a little bit more honest than they, just a little bit more realistic than they. If I were not honest, if I didn't concern myself with honesty, I could put together a thing very easily, just like that. You know, I've had plenty of opportunities to do it, and I could do it tonight. I could make a big carnival shot out of this whole thing. And I've chosen to, for example, down here, I've chosen to keep this thing small. I've chosen to be realistic about it. Chosen to be open about this and not try to put on a front. But I could put on a pretty good show if I wanted to. I mean, if I thought that was the way to go, which it isn't, so I keep a low profile here and try. I discourage people from coming to the meeting, as a matter of fact, all the time. I discourage them because I'm not. That seems an odd way to go, but I've had too much of opportunism, and I keep away from it. But the point is, we're presenting of course, one of the big thing that is my task is writing that commentary, and I don't want to get too much going on the speaking public side, because I want to write that commentary. So that's another reason why, but the point I'm really making is that our great thrust here is not to promote some carnival brand of faith, but to help people come to grips with themselves in the power of the Holy Spirit functioning simply within them, see, where everyone has that power, even if outwardly they do not appear to be very much. As you people here all have as much as I have. My gift happens to be a little bit more vocal. It's fortunate that we're not all vocal. And yet, I'm sure that as far as faith is concerned, the presence of the Spirit of Christ in you gives you the same brand of faith as I have. And I don't stop to try to prove it all the time. Most Christians are forever either trying to prove something to God or getting to prove something to them. They're trying to prove how much they love him and how much they deserve his help and gifts and so on. Or they're trying to get him to prove to them that he loves them. So we just rock along in a very simplistic fashion, because there's nothing I can say or do to enhance that faith within anybody, not even in myself. So I just have to, I'm at the mercy of Christ. Going on in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So Abraham's identification with God was in itself righteousness, without doing a lot of good deeds. Just the fact that he belonged to God was important. We've talked before about this matter of adoption. When children are adopted by parents, they're part of the parents' life. Whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they're still part of his life. We're still part of God, good, bad, or indifferent, although that doesn't give us license. We still want to, we've got to watch our conduct and so forth, but it isn't our conduct that makes us children of God. It is identification with him through faith. Verse 7, you know then that they who are of faith, these are the sons of Abraham, or the children of Abraham. Now, you see, Abraham lived a couple thousand years ago. He lived prior to the law. He did not know the law at all, had no touch with it, whatever. It hadn't even come into existence. But still, God dealt with Abraham on a special basis. And the fortunate thing here is the Bible says that our brand of relationship to God is more like Abraham than Moses. That's what this passage is all about. We are identified with Abraham before the law, so then we are not subject to that law. The law of God is in our spirits, and it's not such a sterile, legalistic thing. All right, so those who are of faith are the children of Abraham. So you become identified with God by merely turning to Him, and your ability to turn to Him is provided by Him. Now, people cannot turn to God and not get any help, but the moment you turn to God, He does His part to bring you along. And the Scripture foresaw beforehand that God justifies, it is written in the Scripture beforehand, that God justifies the Gentiles out of faith. In other words, the Jews were in God's covenant, but now He justifies the Gentiles by faith and not by the law. Having proclaimed proclaimed to Abraham that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, here is a figure out of history called Abraham. God touched and blessed the life of Abraham and tells us that we are in the same category as Abraham before the law. Just people living out our lives and being helped and blessed by God in the process. Now, this is a great burden of this message in Galatians. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Because by the law, no one shall be just with God. It is evident, because the just shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, but he who does them shall live by them. So in other words, without any strings attached, we belong to God as members of His family. Whereas in the camp of Israel, you might almost liken it to the service, to the Navy. People identify with the Navy by choice, but they are subject to the regulations of the Navy. We're children of God, not Seabees under the orders of a CO. We're children of God. We're not governed by specific regulations, but rather by the Spirit within. Whereas the Old Testament people were involved in a regimentation that was pretty binding upon them. We are not in that regimentation. For Christ has bought us out of the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree. Now, the tree that the Roman soldiers made to hang Jesus on, we call it a cross, but it was really, these crosses were symbolic trees. They were an artificial tree, just like you have a stage prop in a stage when you're in elementary school, and they put maybe they use the coat hanger, the cloak hanger, and put a label on it, tree, you see. See, they were simulating a regular tree. A cross was a simulated tree. And he is saying those who hang on a tree are cursed according to the law. In order that unto the Gentiles the blessing of Abraham may be in Jesus Christ. In order that the promise of the Spirit we might receive through faith. Brethren, I speak as a man. For even as men are governed by covenants, and no one disavows or disorders the covenant, but to Abraham it was written that the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He did not say, and to seeds as of money, but as of one, and your seed, which is Christ. But this I say, that the covenant, having been executed beforehand by God, after 430 years, became a law that was not administered. Or the law, after 400 years, the law was not administered, to the end that the promise may be made of none effect. All right. The point here that we want to explore, the promise, the verse of 14, in order that the promise of the Spirit we might receive through faith. So he brings out the matter of the covenants. In the days of Israel, they were all under a covenant, which couldn't be broken. But we precede the covenant. The basis upon which we have our faith was prior to the covenant, and that was the relationship between God and Israel. Or rather, the relationship between God and Abraham was what we base our hope on, rather than the relationship between God and the Jews. Now, the reason that is of importance is that we're free. In the same way that, as I've used the illustration of traffic laws, if they should suddenly lift the speed limit, maximum speed limit out there in the freeway, everybody would be free to drive whatever speed they wanted without the threat of law. But if they didn't drive discreetly, they might give away to a higher law and they might die. See? So we're not free from conducting ourselves responsibly, but we're not in bondage to regulation. You're just free to live, to be open to people and kind to them and so forth because of the Spirit of Christ in you and not because of regimentation. So you can forget the law. Just be at peace. And follow Christ. Well, I think we'll stop at that point. Because I want you to really think about this, that the identity we have with Christ is totally free of regimentation. And that the faith we have in Him is a gift of God. And not based upon doing good deeds. Now, between those two poles, we have a very, very strong position. Oh, Father, we thank You for these words now from the Scripture. We've looked at them and grateful for something that we can lay hold of here and in the midst of the great confusion of voices and thoughts in the world. We thank You for it, for these people here. In Christ's name, amen.